Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good morning. Good morning, everyone. And I'm happy that I've finally overcome some personal obstacles in scheduling Jim Cook. I have to tell you, I'll start out this interview being sober and end it being sober. Jim Cook is the founder of the Boston Beer Company and brewer of Samuel Adams. He doesn't need a lengthy introduction. So I'm going to skip a lot of the things, but this has been, Samuel Adams Boston Lager has been an important catalyst in the American craft beer revolution for over three decades. And we're going to talk with him right now. He's got a brand new book out, and I can tell you it is interesting, entertaining, and valuable for you to get a lot of good tips. Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. And it's published by Flatiron Books in hardcover. And Jim, welcome. Absolutely delighted to have you on after not having seen you in 20 years.
Well, it's a pleasure having a beer with you, Stu. I'll be the designated drinker because I'm here at a brewery.
All right. Listen, it'll be my pleasure. Let me start off by having you just give a little bit of a background. You say, that the recipe came from your great-grandfather, and You've carried this on. Can you give us a kind of a summary, a synopsis of how this developed into the giant empire that you have today? And then we'll get into other stuff.
Yeah. And of course, you can read the story in the book that I just finished called Quench Your Own Thirst. It's got business lessons learned over a beer or two. And, I started Sam Adams in my kitchen 32 years ago, and this was back when American beer was kind of a wasteland. There wasn't all of these wonderful craft beers that we know today. In fact, the term craft beer hadn't even been invented. There were about a dozen sort of misfits and crazy people all over the country that were trying to make great beer here in the United States, revive America's brewing traditions from the 19th century and, create a culture of quality beer here in the United States so that, people didn't have to drink imports, which were often stale and skunky. And, that sort of small band of revolutionaries, and that's one of the reasons I named my beer after Sam Adams. He was the revolutionary behind the American political revolution. I wanted Sam Adams, the beer, to be the revolutionary behind an American beer revolution. And 32 years later, the landscape is totally transformed. Today, the best place in the world to be a beer drinker is not Germany or England or Australia or Canada or Belgium. It's right here in the United States. And the best beers in the world today are made by the small independent craft brewers like Sam Adams. And that's just been an amazing journey for me for 32 years, powered by beer.
Right, powered by beer, continue to be powered by beer. But there are so many lessons in your book. How do you go about giving up a successful career to fulfill a dream? You were a successful management consultant. Now, I know everybody doesn't sit around like Jung once said to Freud and said, you know, being a psychiatrist or a psychoanalyst is a good job. And Freud was working in his garden. He said, I think I'll try it. And immediately, obviously, converted into a huge success. It doesn't work that way with everyone. How did you come to the decision to give up a career to embark on something that I guess has been in your blood? No alcohol level, pun intended.
Well, you know, that is true because I'm the sixth oldest son in a row in my family to be a brewer. But my dad was a brewmaster, and he got out of brewmaster school in 1948 when there were 1,000 breweries in the United States. There were local, regional breweries, you know, everywhere. Boston had, at the turn of the 20th century, Boston had 30 breweries inside the city limits. And in his years in the beer business, the 15 years, he watched all those guys get driven out of business by bigger and bigger and bigger companies until, well, today, 90% of the beer made in the United States is made by two global, like intergalactic, massive brewing conglomerates. They control 90% of the beer made in the United States. And he saw that coming and thought, you know, you don't have a chance, Jim. Those big guys, you can't compete with them. They're going to grind you up. Finally, I convinced him that I was going to do something very different. I was going to make small batches of very high-quality beer. I was going to charge more money for it. And I thought there'd be some people out there. And my original business plan was that it would take me 5 years to grow to a little over $1 million in sales. That would be 8 employees. And I could pay myself about $80,000 a year, which was about a third of what I was making. And people, you know, and I talk about that in Quench Your Own Thirst, about an attitude about risk that I want to change for people, because people view risk the wrong way. And I'll give you an example. You know, I had this very, it was a good job. I was very, very well paid. I had a nice office, 33rd floor of a office building, overlooked the harbor. You know, it was by all standards a good job, but it wasn't. After 6 years, I came to the conclusion it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Even though, you know, it was very comfortable and secure and well paid. And so I quit that job and went out on my own, started Sam Adams. And people say, well, geez, you took all this risk, Jim. That was so risky. How did you get yourself to the point where you were taking that risk? And I didn't look at it that way. I didn't think that I was taking a risk, in fact, because I figured, all right, what's the worst that can happen, you know, with this Sam Adams beer company that I'm starting? The worst that can happen is I'll lose all my money, we'll go broke, I'll have a great party at the end, and, you know, and then I'll pick myself up, I'll do something. I'm not going to be homeless. I'm not going to starve to death. And then I looked at the flip side of that, and I said, well, what if I stay at this job that it's okay, you know, it's not terrible, but it's not what I want to do for the rest of my life. If I stay doing that job and get to the end of, you know, my life, and I look back and I think, geez, that really was what I wanted to do, and I wasted my life. That's the risk.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. It's better to have tried something and, quote, not succeeded. I don't use the word failed, than just to sit around or not have done it at all. That's how you do it. You've been described as unconventional, daring, innovative. And I want to get to one thing. And by the way, I don't want to forget, so I want you to tell everyone where the proceeds from this book are going.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and obviously an unconventional part of Samuel Adams, because we view our fellow craft brewers not as competitors, but as colleagues and as fellow you know, revolutionaries.
That's where I was going with this, so go ahead.
Yeah, and that's striking to people. And we have a philanthropic program called Sam Adams Brewing the American Dream that makes small business loans and startup loans to, you know, the very small businesses in food, beverage, and brewing. And so we've made almost 1,000 loans in total, but over 30 of them have gone to, quote-unquote, our competitors. We've made over 30 loans to up-and-coming small breweries, and we've provided coaching and counseling to hundreds more. And all of the proceeds from Quench Your Own Thirst go to help small businesses realize their American dream, including breweries and cideries that, you know, are part of our industry. We have learned that if we work together, we will have more success than if we try to kill each other.
Also, it's quite in line with the direction I'd like to think we're moving, and I think we are, without being political here, but being socially conscious. You've been socially conscious since you started out with the right attitude, and the message is do something for someone else. It'll come back to benefit you. We're coming up on a break, but when we come back, Jim Cook has graciously agreed to stay with us for another segment here. I'd like you to, you know, we'll kind of flip back and forth because you just can't cover anywhere near what's in this book. But what the process is for coming up with new blends, with new beers, always been fascinated by that. And
that's a very cool topic. Let's get
all right. Let's get
back.
That after a break. This is Stu Taylor. I'm absolutely thrilled to have on Jim Cook. The name of the book, buy the book. I don't care what business you're in, or even if you're not in business, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. You all know where to get it. It's Flatiron Books. We'll be back.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, only $9.99. Just go to Vistaprint.com and enter promo code 8181 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 8181.
I've owned my company for 14 years now, and I can tell you that payroll is a four-letter word. I hate doing it. It eats up hours I don't have, and it costs me money I could be saving. But my accountant's too expensive, and I'm not sure who to call. But I know I need help.
We're Paychex, and we take all the hassles out of small business payroll. We save you time and money. It's easy. Call, fax, or give us your payroll information securely online, and we take care of the rest. We calculate the correct taxes, manage payments and direct deposits. We even send out your checks. Payroll doesn't need to be a four-letter word anymore. We're so sure that we can save you time and money that we'll give you a month's payroll free. Just for calling 877-726-3369. Get 1 month's payroll for free. Call Paychex right now. 877-726-3369. That's 877-726-3369.
For life's aches and pains, choose Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. It works fast, and it's easy to use. Designed to work odor-free in all those remote areas. It works here. It's odor-free here. It works here. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray. Fast-acting, easy-to-use, odor-free pain relief for all those remote areas. Available at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, and other fine retailers.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
BizTalkRadio.com.
The Legal Exchange, Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is Jim Woolsey, former Director of Central Intelligence, and I'm glad you're listening along with me and Stu Taylor.
All right, we're back, and, you know, I get particularly excited when I have a success story on, like, Jim Cook. Because it gives so much hope to so many people in a land of great opportunity. And you can do it by giving back to others as well. And it's such an important message. Jim Cook rejoining us. The name of the book is Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Flatiron Books. This is a keeper. I can't say that about every book that comes on. This is a keeper. Jim, just before the break, what is the process of coming up with all these new blends, both in terms of the content, the substance of the blend, and then I think of Ben and Jerry's with all the clever names.
Yeah, I don't know if we're great at names, but we are probably one of the most innovative brewers out there. And, you know, it comes, I think, just first from a mindset that the status quo sucks. I mean, the status quo is only the status quo because we haven't figured out how to improve it yet. But eventually, we will. So when I look at a beer, I want to make something that doesn't repeat the status quo, but, you know, builds on what's out there and then puts, like, new elements together. For example, we just finished the Sam Adams Nitro project. And, you know, everybody thinks about beer as having carbonation. And, you know, beer is carbonated, it's fizzy. Well, carbon dioxide isn't the only interesting gas out there. There's also nitrogen, which does some really startling things for beer. You're probably all familiar with, like, the head on a Guinness. That's because Guinness is pushed with nitrogen. So we extended that nitrogenation to other beer styles, to a nitro white ale, a nitro coffee stout, and a nitro IPA. And we had to go to England to get these special cans for it. It was a 3-year project to figure out how to, you know, get the nitrogen into the beer, into the cans, and then educate people about the taste characteristics, because nitrogen makes beer smooth, creamy, almost silky, and that changes the flavor profile to something that is often smoother and more drinkable. So it's just, you know, having a passion for what you do and having an attitude about innovation, that whatever you're doing, you can always do it better. You've gotten practices and procedures and mentalities from the past, but you can always, you know, do it differently. I mean, there's a whole chapter in Quench Your Own Thirst about innovating around our IPO. You know, when we went public, You know, there's a standard way to do it, and everybody does it the same way, and the investment banks line up, and they make their money and all that. And one of the problems with the standard IPO model is the public doesn't get the shares. They all go to the big institutions and big investors, and the public, you know, my drinkers would have been the last people to get shares. So I turned the whole thing on its head. I put coupons on the six packs and allowed our drinkers to buy 33 shares at $15 a share. The institutions paid 20, and they were all pissed off. He's like, wait a minute, we're supposed to get the good deal. You mean you're giving your drinkers a good deal? And I said, absolutely. I'm in business because of my drinkers. I want them to be my owners. And we got $65 million in the mail from our drinkers. We could have done the entire public offering from those six-pack coupons, and ended up with owners who were drinkers, not some wine sipper, you know, at a big institution, real Sam Adams drinkers.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, these are great stories. And you talk, and you're quite open that you've made mistakes. You know, you experiment, things don't work out. You put it aside. You pull the plug, and I always think of this too.
Yeah,
I'd rather
drink my
be on the
mistake.
Outside looking in, or on the inside trying to get out. And sometimes the temptation to grab the buck or to get the notoriety is there. And you have to say, I'm not going to act in an impetuous manner. Stop what we're doing, take the losses, and remodel it, retool it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you read Quench Your Own Thirst, one of the things that pops out is I learned as much from my mistakes as I learned from my successes. And in fact, many of you know, our successes.
And I'd like to have you just elaborate on a couple of your mistakes.
I'll start with Sam Adams Boston Lager itself, right? So I make this beer. I think it's a great beer. I go to all five beer distributors in Boston and ask them if they want to carry my beer. And none of them would take it. All five of them turned me down. And I thought, okay, this is a pretty big failure. But what, you know, I was very determined and very passionate about my beer. And I thought, well, okay, I'll just put cold beer in my briefcase and I will go from bar to bar in Boston trying to get bars to carry my beer, to offer it to their customers, probably 95% of the calls I made, I got turned down. You know, so 1 in 20 bars took it when I first started. But, you know, I learned from that. I learned how to sell. I learned how to talk to bar owners and bartenders. I would come in and do promotions at night and talk to my drinkers. So that was, you know, a seeming failure. But it actually educated me in ways that I would never have been able to do, you know, had I just been brewing the beer and sending it to a distributor.
And you've kept your humility, which is an amazing part of this story. And for people who don't know, I mean, it's amazing with the success you've achieved and how you're trying to pass this information on to others. Your best guess is to where the industry is going. I mean, it's crowded. You've really gotten a hold, and yet it's a small percent of what's sold in beer. You don't need a large percent to make a lot. Where's the industry going?
Well, you're right. I mean, Sam Adams has been kind of the leading craft brewer, the pioneer in craft brewing for over 30 years, and we're still only a little over 1% of the U.S. beer business. That's not a whole lot, but, you know, I started my kitchen, so I'm proud of it. And I think that there is still a lot of opportunity in craft beer. I think, you know, we've started this movement. You know, there is a revolution. You know, 20-somethings have adopted, you know, craft beer like Sam Adams the same way that their kind of their boomer parents adopted wine. So I think we are at the beginning of a very exciting revolution and culture change about, you know, how Americans think about beer, and we're leading the world. So is it going to, you know, as I talk about in the book, you know, you shouldn't start a business because you think it's going to make you really rich. The chances of that happening are meaningless. You know, there's not lots of Mike Zuckerberg.
That's actually a great note to go out on, and I hate to do this. I'm always fighting the clock. It's like the 2-minute drill. Stay on as we conclude, Jim. I want to chat with you for a moment. It's been an absolute pleasure. Just buy the book, Quench Your Own Thirst, Business Lessons Learned Over a Beer or Two. Jim Cook.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Have you heard about Biz TV? Biz TV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the first national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. Small businesses drive America forward, generating 64% of all new jobs in the last decade. With over 30 million small businesses in the U.S., shouldn't you be watching Biz TV? With the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners, Biz TV is the network you should be watching. Success stories, new ideas turned into businesses, programs full of sales tips, goal setting, how to manage, how to raise capital, and improving work-life balance. Biz TV is for those who want to succeed. Visit biztv.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request Biz TV.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get two free gifts, and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Are you worried about losing your home to foreclosure? If you've been threatened with foreclosure or receive legal papers from your bank, you have approximately 30 days to respond. If you do not respond, you could lose your home. You have rights. Act now to protect your rights. You can stay in your home. Many times you can even modify your loan. The bottom line is you can get past this, but you must act right now. If you've been served by your bank and you're worried about losing your home to foreclosure, now is the time to fight back and save your home. Time is limited, so call the professionals at National Foreclosure Defense right now.
800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. 800-708-7922. That number again is 800-708-7922.
BizTalkRadio.com. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
This is Martin Fetch. I'm a special freelance correspondent for NBC News, and I've just done an interview which I enjoyed very much with Stu Taylor.
All right, we're back, and as we do every third Wednesday of the month, we get absolutely great financial management with wealth management advice from Blue Prairie Group in Chicago with other offices. You can go to blueprairiegroup.com. And joining us today is Carla Taylor. She is a financial advisor for the Blue Prairie Group, and going to talk about a subject that's really sensitive and difficult for a lot of people to talk about. That's how do you iron out the problems before you get married on handling finances? And having said that, congratulations, Carla Taylor. You're getting married the end of this month.
Yes, Stu. Thanks so much for having me, and very much looking forward to getting married and tying the knot.
All right. Well, I'm sure you went through this exercise, so I can't think of a better time to interview you on it. But people, you know, you have all these delicate discussions before you get married, and how do you handle it, and how much do you confide in the other person? Sometimes, you know, there are discussions about sex, religion, politics, but one of the, if not the most critical element outside of those feelings of emotion is finances and being on the same page. When does one fiance, spouse, potential spouse, when do these discussions begin, and how do you break the ice by making the other person feel comfortable to talk about it?
Stu, this is a very difficult conversation to have for a lot of people, and there's never really a great time, but definitely before you're getting married. A lot of people my generation are cohabitating prior to marriage, so it's never a bad idea to start these conversations when you first move in with each other. But, you know, once the ring's on the finger, it's time to start talking about this type of thing.
Yeah, and it's important. It can be difficult. And I know you're not a psychologist, but in a sense, we're all psychologists. And actually, you are. As you're handling other people's money, you have to have a keen and sensitive understanding of what they're looking to do. How do you kind of break down the wall and begin the conversation by talking about sharing all of your financial information? And I guess I mean all of it.
Yeah, definitely all of it. And it, you know, we'll talk about the several different types of things about money that you should discuss. And so it may be one big conversation, or maybe you want to break it up into pieces. I think that one great idea might be to just schedule a money night and open a bottle of wine and, you know, just jump right into it, as difficult as it can be, because putting it off, you're putting off creating a financial plan together and achieving your goals together.
This is difficult. It's a sensitive issue, and I certainly, one size doesn't fit all. But two people get along, a man and a woman, or it could be a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, and who knows what else today. And you may not get the real facts. Hopefully, people are astute enough when they get into these relationships to understand their partner and to know about their background. Would you recommend, and this is going to lead later on to prenups, but I want to go there later. Do you recommend a prior investigation into your potential partner's financial situation? So you get married, and suddenly you find out that your partner has a debt of $6 million you didn't know about.
Well, financial fidelity is incredibly important, so hopefully you trust the person that you're marrying, and you just have to go ahead and you know, first have the talk, open up about everything, talk about your savings, your retirement account, your debt, your income, your credit scores, all of that. Hopefully people will be open and honest. I think that if one person is holding back or you're feeling that you're being deceived, then there are probably some bigger issues there. And, you know, maybe you want to do an official investigation. I think that's really depends on the individual and the situation.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of, quote, the love out of it. But it's important. We all have to have the practical side to us as well. And part of that pragmatic approach to life means I laying out your goals, your dreams of the future. That should be done, again, in advance, shouldn't it?
Definitely. And I think that it's difficult. People getting married in their 20s and 30s, it may be hard for them to say in terms of dollar amounts what their goals are. But it's really about just talking about, hey, you know, most people want to retire one day. Where do you think you want to live in retirement? What type of lifestyle do you dream about together in retirement? Do you want to buy a house? Do you want to have kids? And the dollar signs start to fill in as you dream about the details together. And I think that this is probably the most fun and exciting conversation to have with your significant other, because this is really just the dream stage where you're discussing your wishes before you get into the nitty-gritty and your ability to achieve these goals.
It's not exactly like going out for a night of entertainment. It's not fun, but it's a necessity, and a lot of what we have to do is a necessity. And when you it's always interesting. I've always had a chuckle. A man and a woman, oh, they get along great because they're right on the same line and wavelength on everything, same personalities. Oh, you know, they get along great because they're polar opposites. I mean, right. You can almost chuckle and create your own scenario on this, but there should be a common philosophy on money when it comes to spending and savings habits, correct? Otherwise, if one's frugal and the other one spends money like a crazy person, it's going to ultimately end up in financial marital disaster, isn't it?
For the most part, yes. It can be really frustrating when one person in the relationship feels that they're really working hard to earn money and save their money when the other person is going out and spending. On the other hand, two people that are really strict savers can start to it can almost become a competition of who's saving more, and you're feeling that you can't spend money on the regular enjoyments of life. My fiance, Jared, and I think that we're a good balance. We're both overall good savers. Jared sort of pushes me a little bit to let go and spend money from time to time, and I keep him on track from not spending too much. And I do think that because I'm the more frugal of us, he likes to push my limits from time to time. But, you know, it's really about having that balance and talking about it.
There's the real sensitive issue, and you mentioned your personal aspect of your life. I'll mention a personal aspect of mine. When I got married, I did keep money separate. It wasn't a secret. I just felt more comfortable having my own account. This very short period of time went on, and I'm extremely fortunate. I was lucky the first time around in my marriage. I never even think my money, your money. How do you go about it? I have all kinds of friends. Some of them say, I'm in control of the money. My wife, it's my wife doesn't know how much I have. I handle the money. It's all in my name. How do you do this?
Yeah, this is a question that a lot of people ask me. There's no right or wrong way to do this, although I really don't think it's a good idea for one person to have no idea what's going on or how much money the couple has. But in terms of whether you keep your money separate, join it, there are lots of options here, and you can start off one way as you did, Sue, and combine your finances later in life. Sometimes people find that a compromise is the best thing, especially when starting off in the marriage, to each have your own accounts and then to have a joint account that you may contribute to either 50-50 or 70-30 based on your relative incomes.
Personalities are different. You explained a little personality difference between you and Jared. I certainly have, with my wife, personality differences, but
we have the same value system. We have the same logical approach. People should – well, I should ask this as a question. Shouldn't couples sit down in advance and get a plan out and get certain roles out? Some people are just great at certain things and they're just lousy at others. I'm good at very, very few things, but my wife is good at many. And I don't have any problem saying you take that role.
Yeah, that's a great conversation to have, something that I think, again, every couple that's getting married should discuss. So, you know, once you've talked about your income, your savings accounts, your debt, and then you've discussed your goals, really the next thing to do is to sit down together and figure out a plan for how much you're going to save each month and, you know, what your goals are. If you're looking to save up a certain amount for a down payment on a house, lots of people have debt these days, whether it's a car loan, student loans are incredibly common these days, or credit card debt. You know, prioritize how much you're going to be putting away in the bank, your plan for paying off your credit card debt. And in terms of, you know, who's actually responsible for making sure that you're on track or making the payments, as long as you figure that out and you're on the same page.
All right, well, we're going to take a break. Financial advisor Carla Taylor, Blue Prairie Group. You can go to blueprairiegroup.com. I don't know if I gave out the website. She will rejoin us on Financial Conversations to Have Before Getting Married. This is Stu Taylor.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than 1 million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
For me, it was the big S-Class from the 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one, and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through May 31st, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
BizTalkRadio.com. You're locked into Money Matters Radio, 1120 AM WBNW.
I'm Dick Morris. When I visit Boston, I don't go to see the Red Sox. I listen to Stu Taylor on Business.
We return with Carla Taylor, getting married the end of the month, so the subject is so apropos today. She is a financial advisor for Blue Prairie Group. Representatives of Blue Prairie Group appear on this show the third Wednesday of every month, and I hope they're tremendous. I know they're a tremendous asset, the amount of information people get. If you want to check it out or contact them, you can go to blueprairiegroup.com, blueprairiegroup.com. Today, financial conversations to have before getting married. And, you know, I think of certain things in terms of how often you visit the decisions that you've made jointly to take. I mean, it should be often. For example, I just like power cleanings of my teeth four times a year. I go, I think it's great. How often should a couple go to get these decisions reviewed, knowing that you can always change the plan later?
Right. You know, I think that that's a really good point, Stu, that you can always change the plan. I see a lot of people really getting held up and stuck because they feel that they have to make the perfect decision right up front. And you know what? Any decision, having something down as a plan, whether it's on paper or just an agreement between the two of you, is much better than having no plan at all. For Jared and I, it's easy for us to talk about money. It's sort of, especially since we're really trying to save up for a down payment on a house, we talk about money regularly. For those that have a harder time talking about money, you know, perhaps scheduling a quarterly money date, and I do know people who do this, just putting it on the calendar and doing it, like I said before, opening that bottle of wine, but definitely touching base a couple times a year to talk about these things.
All right. I never thought of this. I never dealt with it. I got lucky. I hope my wife got lucky. But prenups, what a sensitive subject that is. You start talking about a prenup, and all of a sudden the love and the romance is out of the relationship. When is it? Should people engage in it? When should they talk about it, and how should they approach this?
Yes, Stu. Prenups have become incredibly taboo in our society, or maybe they haven't become taboo. Maybe, I guess, they've always been taboo. I'll talk specifically about certain situations where I highly recommend people get prenups, but I think that it's really never a bad idea for anyone to get a prenup. People have this sense that if you're getting a prenup, then it means that you think that there's a good chance you're going to get divorced. And that's really not a good way to look at prenups. I think of it much more as an insurance policy. For example, you don't buy insurance on your house just because you think there's a good chance it's going to burn down, right? You buy insurance on your house. You really don't expect it to burn down, but it's there in case it does. And a prenup is a really good way to really put your financial plan down on paper, because if you have a financial plan, you're much more likely to achieve your financial goals.
All right. The consequences in absence of a prenup, when you suddenly go to court, it's really tricky to know how to divide this up. I don't know why I'm thinking about Prince, but I mean, it's a special case where there, apparently there's no will and everybody's fighting over
right.
the money. You want all this stuff done, whether it's assets or debts, to be taken into consideration in advance. Can you respond
right.
to a specific question that I never asked?
If you don't have a prenup and your marriage doesn't work out, it's really up to the whims of a judge as to how your assets get divided. Now, state laws differ a bit from state to state, but for the most part, you know, it doesn't even matter if you've been keeping your money in separate accounts. The judges really tend to look at your finances as a whole. That's retirement accounts, savings accounts, and your debts. You could be taking on half of your soon-to-be ex's debts. So I think that a prenup is a really it's a really good insurance policy to, while you're in love, to think about how you want to divide your assets if something should not work out, because divorces can get very nasty.
Yeah, and we all know people who have gone through them, and it certainly is not a pleasant situation. The issue of taxes, whether you should get married at specific times, do you owe more in taxes? I'll just kind of throw this open to you and have you address it as a general topic.
Sure. So, you know, this is a really good point because it's something that a lot of people overlook. No matter when in the year you get married, if it's could be December 31st of, say, 2016, you have to file as married for the entire year of 2016. You don't get to choose. It's not a, you know, half of the year as single, half the year as married. And when I say filing married, that could be either filing married jointly or married filing separately. And a lot of people, especially in this day and age where both people in the relationship are working, often this means that filing married, you're going to owe more in taxes. And so you need to think about that and realize, you know, you may even want to consult an accountant earlier in the year to see how much you're going to owe in taxes, because what's withheld in payroll doesn't change until you're actually married. And so the important thing here is that you want to make sure that you're saving.
I don't want to interrupt, but we have less than a minute, and I want to get this in. I have you get it in before the end of the interview.
Yes.
Talking about updating beneficiary designations.
Right.
Got about a minute to go.
Okay. Another thing that people overlook, there's lots of things going on when you're getting married and starting your lives together. So, you know, you want to look at your IRAs, 401ks, any life insurance policies that you have, and update the beneficiary to your new spouse if that's what you have both decided on.
All right. Well done. In fact, so well done that you may have 30 seconds here to come up with a concluding statement, something that we haven't discussed here that you'd like to conclude with.
Well, first, I just want to touch base briefly again on prenups, that people who should definitely get them would be when one or both spouses come into the marriage with a lot of assets, and also if one or both of the spouses have children from a prior marriage or relationship. Those are really important times to get prenups. And just to end this interview, just really want to stress the importance of financial fidelity, that you want to start off your relationship with honesty and view your finances as a partnership, just as you do.
All right. Thank you very much, Carla Taylor. Again, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. Financial advisor, Blue Prairie Group. Go to blueprairiegroup.com. we'll see you or someone else the third week of June. I want to thank everyone for listening. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.